Welcome to my message today as I talk about discovering where God is working around you. Our topic for today, which is a very important topic, is discovering where God is working around you. And this is part of a series we're doing, really a spiritual growth intensive that we're doing called Experiencing God. And so I want to welcome you today as we talk about this really important idea that, listen, God, listen, is always working around us. And this is the very foundation, really, of the idea of experiencing God, knowing that, hey, God's at work. God is on the move. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. But as we begin, I want to begin today with a question. And here's the question. Listen up. Do you desire to experience God every day and in every way? I want you to think about that. Do you desire to experience God? And do you want to experience God every day? Do you want to experience God in every way? Well, listen, I've got some great news for you. That is indeed possible. But here's the deal. God wants you to experience His presence, Him being in your life that way, by knowing and doing His will. The way we experience God, you know, every day and in every way, is to know His will and, listen, to do His will. And so right now in this series, we're learning how to do that, how to know and how to do the will of God. And we're looking at a biblical example of a guy named Moses. And really, there are seven different realities that Moses experienced that brought him into an experience with God Almighty. And one of those is that Moses discovered that God was at work around him. And so I'm excited about this message day and sharing this with you. And really what we're going to do today in this message is we're going to give you the big picture about Moses and the story of Moses and the burning bush, all right? And that's what we're going to cover today. And then in the weeks ahead, we're actually going to dig deeper in different parts of this story. But today I want to tell the story, okay? Because maybe you don't know the story, or if you're like me, maybe you need to hear it again, okay? I know I've needed to hear it again. It's been a long, long time since I've spent much time thinking about this story. But I want to welcome you, and I want to thank you for being here. And I invite you, listen, I invite you to experience God in this teaching series and this spiritual growth intensive. So today we're going to begin in Exodus chapter 2, 21 through 25. Now, I need you to get your thinking cap on. I need you to get your mind focused on the idea that God is working around us. And here's the deal. We may not even know what He's doing, but God can be doing things in preparation for something He has for us to do. In other words, God could be working over here, and God's setting things up for us to know and do His will. And this is really vitally important if you're going to experience God. And so I want to read Exodus chapter 2. Now, it's important to note this precedes chapter 3, all right? So chapter 3 is the story of Moses and the burning bush. But what I want to show you is God is going to call Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, right? He's going to have a burning bush experience. And God is going to tell him, Moses, you're the one, all right? You're going to be the point person. You're going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, all right? That's my will for your life. But notice what's going on beforehand, all right? In Exodus chapter 2, and right now I want to read just verse 24. That's our key verse for today. Exodus 2:24 says, "So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." Let me read that again. "So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." So I want you to look at this, all right? please, please hear me. This is before, all right? This is so important to understand, or you're going to miss the total point of why I'm talking about this. I'm trying to show you that God was at work, all right, before he actually called Moses to lead the children of Israel. And right now, I firmly believe that God is doing things in my life that I don't even know about, all right? But he is doing those things as part of something he's going to tell me to do, okay, later on. So get the point? I hope you get, don't miss this point, because it's an exciting point, all right? And so let's think about this, Exodus 2, 21 through 25. So first of all, we see God is working in the life of Moses and in the lives of the enslaved Hebrews. So what's going on here is you got Moses over here, and you got the children of Israel. They're in bondage. They're enslaved. They're literally enslaved, all right? And what we see in chapter 2, 21 through 22 is this. Moses is getting married, and he's starting a family, all right? That's what's going on with him. Moses is getting married. You know, he's having they're having their first child. I mean, that's kind of what's happening over here. In the midst of that, the king from whom Moses has fled died. Don't miss that. Verse 23a tells us that this king, the one that wanted to basically kill Moses, has died. All right. It says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. That's noteworthy. See, God is working. God's removing one of the biggest barriers that Moses had to face to do God's will. And then, on top of that, despite the change in leadership, the Hebrews, the Bible says here, remained in bondage, and they're crying out to God. So the Bible's very, very clear that, you know, verse 23, that they are literally crying out to God. 23b goes on to say, then the children of Israel groaned. They're groaning because of the bondage. And they're crying out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So what's going on over here? Oh, they're in pain. They're hurting. They're crying out to God. You know, again, God is working. God is moving. But here's the most exciting part. God heard their groaning, it says. He remembered his covenant with them and acknowledge them. That's in verses 24 and 25. God heard their groaning, remembered his covenant with them, and acknowledged them. All right? God hears their cry. God hears their cry. God remembers. He made a covenant with them that they would, that he would give them a promised land, all right, that he would provide for them. He acknowledged what was going on in their life. So all this stuff is happening, all right? Moses is getting married, has his first child. The king who wanted to basically kill Moses dies. The children of Israel over here crying out to God. And God is listening. God is responding. And here's the deal. Listen, I want you to think about this. Unknown to everyone was that God was working to prepare Moses to lead them out of bondage and into the promised land. What's going on here? God is setting things up, okay? God is going to call Moses, and God is going to tell Moses, Moses, you lead these children of Israel out of bondage. Again, get excited. To me, this is like so exciting. I mean, I don't know what God's doing right now in my life. I know what's right in front of me, but the point is, it's bigger than that. God is doing things over here that he knows he's going to need over here, you know? And he's setting things up. He's organizing things. Wow. Wow. I love that thought. So let's talk about this. How to discover where God is at work around you. How to discover where God is at work around you. Now, this is one of what we call seven realities for experiencing God. And I want to show you a graphic here. All right. We've already shown this to you in the series, in the previous messages, but I want to show it again today, and I'm going to show it every single message, all right? And so what this graphic shows are these seven initiatives, And we're going to look at the first of those today, and that's God's work. If you'll look closely at that image there, you'll see a little shading around number one where it says God's work. That's where it all begins. It all begins with the idea of God's work. And so experiencing God reality, number one, here it is, God is always at work around you. This is reality one. God is always at work around you. Well, let's look at this. And again, I'm basically going to tell the story today of Moses and the burning bush. And I'm going to give you an overview of chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 2 in the book of Exodus. Because this is like the critical story for our whole experiencing God intensive, all right, and series. And so I'm going to give you the big picture today. I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time on any of these parts, but I promise you over the next six messages, we're going to pick particular areas and we're going to dig much deeper, all right? So are you ready? Are you ready? I hope you're ready because, listen, this is exciting stuff I'm going to share with you today. Again, just think about it. You know, God's working right now, okay? I know he's working right in front of you, but that's not all right? He's working, you know, in other ways, and who knows what he's up to, all right? But the problem is we got spiritual blindness, right? We don't see what God is doing. So I'm going to help you open up those spiritual eyes today. Let's do that, all right? Number one, acknowledge that God is at work around you. Just acknowledge it. Just acknowledge the fact that God is doing this. You see, God was working in your life before you were even conceived, and he continues through your life. Did you hear me? God was working in your life before you were conceived and continues through your life. And there are many wonderful examples of this, but I want to point out Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah. He was they call him the weeping prophet. And I loved him because he had such tenacity. I mean, I guess I'm getting sidelined a little bit here, but I'll just go ahead and finish it out, okay? Jeremiah preached for years and years and years. You know how many converts he had? Not a single one, okay? Nobody ever listened to him. Nobody ever said, thank you, Jeremiah, for preaching. I'm going to follow God. And he literally hit a concrete wall with everybody, but he kept on preaching. He kept on preaching. He never quit. He never gave up. And by the way, we named our son Jeremiah because of such great respect I have for this guy in the Bible. But with that said, let's read Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You see, God was working in behalf of Jeremiah before he was even conceived. Before he was even conceived. I mean, God says, listen, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knew you. Listen, none of us are a mistake. None of us are an accident. You know, I will say, you know, often to remind us, yeah, I know there's so-called accidental pregnancies, but let me tell you something, there are no accidental people, all right? There are no accidental people. God has a wonderful plan for every single human, all right? And he knows us, okay? He knows us. And before you were born, I sanctified you. Before you were born, I set you aside for a special purpose, and that is I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. See, God was working even before Jeremiah was actually conceived, all right? And then on top of that, listen what Paul says in Philippians 1:6, God continues to work in us. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus. Amen. God, listen, be confident. Paul says, I'm confident. And you better be confident. Listen, be confident. God is working in your life right now. And he's going to continue that until you meet the Lord Jesus. And so we see this happening in the life of Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, 1 and 2, we're introduced to the story of Moses and the burning bush. And the Bible says in verse 1 of Exodus 3, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." So what do we see Moses doing? Moses is a shepherd. And Moses is actually working for his father-in-law. I mean, that's sometimes maybe could be somewhat stressful, but they made it work very well, okay? And Moses is tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So he's just, you know, doing his job, right? He's carrying out his responsibility. You know, he's getting up every day and going to work, right? And in the midst of that, he gets an experience with God. In that verse number 2 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." So this is a miracle. God shows up, okay, in the life of Moses, and Moses experiences God in a fiery, burning bush. And God spoke to Moses, all right? God spoke to Moses. Now, the truth is, you know, you're probably not going to have that experience, that exact experience, but you can still experience God. In fact, later on, we're going to talk about different ways that God speaks to us and how we can listen to God, all right? But the idea here is that Jethro, you know, has a job for his son-in-law, Moses, and he's out there doing his job, and in the midst of that, God is working. God is working. And you go down to Exodus 3, 7 through 8, and it returns back to what we said earlier. It says in verse 7, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." And he goes on to say in verse 8, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to the good and large land." What's he? There it is. Remember chapter 2 we had read earlier? God heard them. And God was preparing to set them free. And God, listen, he connected the dots. You know, Moses over here. The need is over here. I'm going to use Moses to make it happen. Just acknowledge that God, he's doing that in your life, all right? He's doing that in your life each and every day. Acknowledge that God is at work around you. He is working. And listen, you got to get this 100% in your mind, in your heart, because this is the foundation of knowing and doing God's will, just to know God is working. Number 2, accept that God wants to work through you. Be willing to accept it, all right? Be willing to accept it. It goes on to say in Exodus 3, 10 through 11a, here's what God says to Moses. "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God. So now God speaks to Moses and says, "Moses, here's what I want you to do." And God was very specific. He says, "Come now, come now. I'm going to send you. You're going to go to Pharaoh, all right? And I want you to go to Pharaoh that you can bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses, I'm putting you in charge. I'm making you the point person to make this happen, all right? But Moses said to God. And what did he say to God? Moses gave 6 excuses for not working with God. You ever given God excuses? Okay, I have, all right? And I just want to run down through these real, real quick, all right? The first excuse, I call it guilt. I call it guilt. He says, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh?" Now, you can interpret that different ways. But the way I interpret that, if you know the story of Moses, earlier in his life, remember this? He killed an Egyptian. I mean, he actually killed an Egyptian. And what I read into that is he is still feeling guilt about that. Like, you know, I killed somebody. Who am I? And you know what? God will try to, the enemy, I should say, not God, the enemy will try to do those same things to us, all right? He'll try to hold us back because of things we've done bad in the past. Insecurity. He says, who am I to lead the people? I mean, really what he's saying there is I just don't feel capable. I don't feel up to the job. I got to move from taking care of animals to taking care of people, okay? I'm feeling kind of insecure. You ever felt that way before? I have. How about this one? I have no authority to do this. Who shall I say is sending me? I'm the shepherd over here, and I'm going to go up to this big old Pharaoh, and I'm going to say, hey, let him go, all right? And he's going to say, well, who in the world are you? And, of course, God says, tell him, I am is sending you, okay? I am. That's God. How about this one, failure? He says, what if they don't believe me? I mean, what if they just say, you're a wacko, Moses. We ought to help you with some medicine or put you in some place or whatever. You know, you've lost your mind, you know. He says, they're just going to totally reject me. I'm going to fail. How about this one? Lack of ability. He says, I'm not a very good speaker. Moses realized, wow, he's got to come before the Pharaoh and communicate. And then you're probably talking about 3 million people. Just to be clear about this, we're not... it's hard to say exactly how many, but don't think it was 20 people. He had to, it's many, many people, okay? Many, many people. I believe from my study, it's about 3 million people, but let's say it's only, 300,000. I mean, the point I'm trying to make is, he knew he was going to have to do some great communication. He says, I just don't think I can do that, And then listen, how about this? I just call it comfort. Lord, please send someone else. Okay, I mean, Moses just wanted to be comfortable. He didn't want to have to take on such an enormous task. What excuses do you give to God when He tells you to do something? All right, just realize this: Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Except that God wants to work through you. Quit making excuses, all right? Quit making excuses. It's God. God Almighty is working in you. He wants to do His will and do His good pleasure. So say yes to God. And then number three, ask, where does God want to use me? Where does God, if you're saying God's working all around me, okay, well, where does God want to use me? I mean, that's, and this is so important, Listen, we're equal in the sight of God as long as we're all in God's will. This is really important to understand. Hear me out here. Moses didn't become more important, okay, than what he was when he was a shepherd. You understand this? If he was in God's will, and I believe he was as a shepherd, he was just as important as he was in leading the children of Israel. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, as long as we're all in the will of God, none of us are more important than another, okay? We're all doing what God has called us to do. And so sure enough, Exodus 4:18-19, the Bible says, so Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Yeah, he made some excuses, but he finally said yes to God, and he left the burning bush, and he went to Jethro, his father-in-law, and this is just being respectful, okay? Respect your boss, okay? God puts your boss in a place of authority over you, all right? And again, if you're in God's will, God gave you that person, as your leader, all right? in the workplace. I have to write a book called Taking God to Work, all right? And I feel very passionate about, you know, this topic of work and, you know, everybody's equal as long as we're in the will of God. And like what I do is no important. I am no more important than you are, okay, being a pastor, okay? I'm in the will of God. That's what makes what I do important. Whatever you do, if you're in the will of God, you're just as important. But as a sign of respect, he goes to his boss and says, I'd like to be released, okay? And sure enough, Jethro said to Moses, go in peace, go in peace. And verse 19 says, now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the people who sought your life are dead. God says, okay, you got released, now go, now go. And he mentions the fact that that king is dead, all right? And the point is, your plans need to, here's the deal, start and end with God. That's what it comes down to. You know, make sure your plans start and end with God. James 4 puts it this way, James 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city, we're going to spend a year there, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to make a profit. That, you know, we kind of, a lot of times, just go through life like that. Now, this isn't knocking having goals. Goals are good, all right? But what is knocking is the idea that you're going to do whatever you want to do, all right? No, that's not going to happen, okay? You know, you say, well, I'm going to go over here, and we'll go over there, and we'll go over here, and I'm going to buy this, I'm going to sell this, I'm going to make a profit. But verse 14 puts it in perspective. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what's your life? What's your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it just vanishes away, right? Life is uncertain. What we should say, it says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. In other words, make your plans, but always say, if the Lord wills, okay? If the Lord wills, ask where does God want to use you? And then lastly, as we close, adjust your life from what I call you-centered to God-centered. Adjust your life from you-centered to God-centered. So Moses kind of started out you-centered, didn't he? It was, God, I can't do this. I got this, I got that. I can't do it. He's focused on himself. But he makes the shift to being God-centered. And it says in Exodus 5, 1 through 2, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. And here's the most important part of this statement. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Moses is saying, it's not about me, it's about God. God's the center. And God, the God of Israel, is saying, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Let them go so they can worship me, so they can practice the feast of the Old Testament. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? And look at this. I do not know the Lord. I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. I mean, there it is, the conflict between being God-centered and me-centered. And Pharaoh says, I don't even know who you're talking about, okay? I don't even know who you're talking about. You know, we have to adjust our lives. We can't be like Pharaoh. We have to be like Moses and Aaron. And we have to live a God-centered life. And I want to close with Psalm 20, verse 7. And I love this. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Listen, discover where God is at work around you. Acknowledge that. That God is working around you. Just acknowledge. Say, I know it's true. Number two, accept that God wants to work through you. Just realize, hey, he wants to work in your life. Do you understand that? He wants to. Amen. Number three, ask God, where do you want me? Where is my place? Okay. And then lastly, adjust your life from being focused on yourself to God-centered. Amen. Reality number one is that God is working all around you.